Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host in the studio today is former State Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, and we're going to visit with two veteran service organizations that are working together to help our Vietnam veterans, check in with the Minnesota National Guard's Information Technology Team, and catch up with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Traditional Guard members drill primarily one weekend a month. That means nearly all of our soldiers and airmen have other careers and other responsibilities outside of their military service. Two of the most prominent responsibilities are family and employment. The Minnesota National Guard recognizes this challenge of balancing responsibilities and provides resources to assist. Our family programs teams work tirelessly to support our military families. They offer military youth programs, transition assistance for members preparing to leave the military, and a connection to other valuable resources. Our employers Support Guard and Reserve Program, known as ESGR, ensures that employers understand exactly what it means to employ a Guard member. The ESGR program also recognizes the standout companies in our community who provide exceptional support to our Guard members, be it at home, at the office, or in uniform. We all do a better job and feel better about it if we've got the right support. Here in Minnesota, we've got the right support.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk to two veteran service organizations today about how they're banding together to help our Vietnam veterans. And joining us in the studio today is Bob Behrens, who is the Minnesota State Council Vice President for Vietnam Veterans of America. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
And also joining us is the adjutant of the DAV in Minnesota, Butch Whitehead. Butch, thanks for calling in today.
Hey, Tom, thanks for having me, and I wish I could be there with you guys in studio, but this works too. Thanks, guys.
Well, we know you well, so I'm sure we're gonna get to business here in a minute, but Bob, I want to ask you, you're a fellow Vietnam veteran. How many years ago did you serve over there?
About 53, 54 years.
You remember back that far, Bob?
Yeah. Yeah, 68, 70, yeah, yeah.
And you've been active in the Vietnam Veterans of America here in Minnesota for many years.
Yes, sir, I have. Yes, it's been an honor.
And,
yeah.
And one of the big issues since back to day one when the VVA was formed was working on this herbicide that we were exposed to called Agent Orange.
Yeah, that's been a huge program for VVA state and also national with the exposure to five different types of Agent Orange that was sprayed on us all over the bases, all over the world, as a matter of fact. And the more we learn, the more we understand the symptoms and what's going on, how it affects not only the Vietnam veteran, but also their family, their children, grandchildren. So this has been an ongoing program for Maynard Catalick. He spearheads this. He's done an outstanding job with his town hall meetings, hundreds and hundreds, not only through Minnesota, but all the surrounding states. So, yes, Agent Orange has been poking on our side for many, many years, and it's not going away. There's very few Vietnam veterans that have not been in contact with Agent Orange, and now we have the symptoms, and it's slowly killing us, period.
And, Bob, it's been a long fight over many decades, but we were able to get Congress to recognize what they call presumptive diseases as a result of exposure to Agent Orange.
Right. You know, we know a lot of doors to knock on, and sometimes we got to kick those doors open and get these legislators and politicians to pay attention to what has happened and what's going on, you know. And we will continue our fight. We will continue bringing this to the top shelf of all conversations when it comes to Vietnam veterans and the VA and helping all the Vietnam veterans and their family to get recognized and get some help with this poison that we were sprayed.
And, Butch, I want to bring you into this conversation because I know as a former commander of the DAV here in the United States, you spent a lot of time working both on Agent Orange, but other things that happen in other wars, such as the burn pits for today's troops.
Absolutely. You know, and as Bob was saying there, they've been fighting VVA and DAV, all this veteran or service organization, been fighting for way too long for this to finally pass, and it was great to get those three presumptives passed. But as you said, Bob, Tom, it's great to actually finally get some traction also on some new illnesses that we're foreseeing, and that is the burn pits, and how today's veterans that are going off to Afghanistan, Iraq, and all these other bases being exposed to it. We don't want them currently serving soldiers to suffer as long as the Vietnam veterans did. And I'm telling you, just like how the world changed because of Vietnam veterans, they too are leading the way again and making sure that the veterans are taken care of and continue to fight for these other illnesses to be recognized as well.
We're speaking with the Vietnam Veterans of America and the Disabled American Veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Bob, I want to come back to you. Just the nature of the Veteran Service Organization, Vietnam Veterans of America, they aren't going back to Vietnam anymore, and they aren't making any more of us, and we're getting old, and so it's self-defeating. It's going to go down.
Yeah. It's a closed loop, last man standing, turn out the light organization. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. And the Vietnam Veterans of Minnesota were very active. We're one big giant family. And unfortunately, it's time to shut the doors on the state. But although we're shutting the doors on the state, we still have 8 active Vietnam veteran chapters throughout the state, and they are very, very active. They're always having something going on that helps veterans with different programs and things of that nature. But it's time, Tom. It looks like sometime the end of February, 1st of March, we're going to turn off the lights and pass the torch, so to speak, with our different programs and with our VSO, and hopefully we can step up and have a stronger alliance with all the service organizations, particularly with the DAV, the Legions, and all these. But it's time,
Now, the national organization is still going to be there for a while.
National is still there, yeah.
State's going to shut out the lights, and you've still got some active Vietnam veterans.
Right,
And you did have some claims people that were helping our Vietnam veterans, but we know now that you're working closely with organizations such as the Disabled American Veterans.
Yes, yeah.
And, Butch, maybe you can speak to that. I know that myself included, the DAV has picked up support of Vietnam veterans that needed help with their claims.
Absolutely. Obviously it's sad to see the VVA be going away, but it's great that the organization like the DAV is here to also continue that fight and continue fighting for the veterans, the Vietnam veterans that are part of that great organization. And I'll tell you that we're not going to slow down. We've been working side by side with them on legislation, passing these bills, making sure the Agent Orange isn't forgotten, and that as we continue to learn more and more about what that's doing to the veterans, the DAV is going to continue to fight and advocate for the Vietnam veterans to make sure that they get the benefits that they've earned because of what they've gone through as well. So while it's sad to see the VVA, I'll tell you the DAV, we're not going to miss a beat. We're going to pick up the pieces right where they hand off to us, and we're going to continue to fight for them.
So, Bob, it's got to make you feel good that we've got
Butch
and the DAV out there to help.
Absolutely. They've been a strong advocate in our corner for since 1988. They've always been there. And we will continue, like I said, Butch, we will continue to fight for Agent Orange and the veterans and their benefits. But also now we have new focus on what we call the modern-day warrior with their issues and concerns with the burn pits, and we're stepping up and saying, hey, listen, this is how we do it.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more with the Vietnam Veterans of America and the Disabled American Veterans about supporting our Vietnam veterans when we return. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Doug Wortham, and we've been talking to Bob Behrens, the Minnesota State Council Vice President for the Vietnam Veterans of America, and Butch Whitehead, who is the adjutant of the DAV of Minnesota. And Doug, you're seeing kind of the beginning of the end of one organization here. It's been over 50 years since we got back from Vietnam, but it's heartwarming to know DAVs out there. This is fairly interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. And of course, it's great to have another veteran service organization step up and kind of bring in that fold and continue on with the important mission of taking care of our veterans.
Butch, I just want to elaborate on that a little bit. A while back, I had a claim pending with the VA, and it was being handled by the Vietnam Veterans of America. And all of a sudden, I couldn't find my guy, so I called you, you put me in with the DAV claims guys, and they picked up the case and resolved it. And I know in discussions with you, you're the former commander of the DAV. He's been around for 100 years, and you're pretty dedicated to make sure that we take care of our Vietnam veterans.
Absolutely, Tom and Doug. I mean, obviously, it's very important to us that while we make this transition, that the DAV, we get in and get after it right away so that these veterans that have now, like you said, Tom, you were fighting for some of these benefits for years. And when there's a break, we don't want to have that veteran suffer anymore. So the DAV, we really put our focus on making sure that our service officers grabbed it and took it and got back in to make sure that that veteran did not have to suffer any longer, that they've already been waiting for some of these benefits.
And Bob, I want to come back to you. We alluded to this in the first segment, but the effects of the exposure to Agent Orange in Vietnam don't just affect our veterans. It's proven that it affects the next generation and maybe multi-generations. Yeah. So this isn't going away when we go away.
No, this hangs around for about 4 to 5 generations, and it's even very prevalent right now in Vietnam. And you're talking 4th, 5th generation children, but it's going to stick around. We're not going to get rid of it. There's no magic silver bullet to get rid of this thing. It's serious, and we've seen a lot of it now with children and grandchildren, and even your great-grandchildren. So, yeah, it's pretty serious.
Bob, is the VA starting to take care of the next generations?
Actually, no. It's an uphill battle on this one because it's a whole different ball game now. No, it's not. They're not taking care of the next generation. That's cut and dry right there. So we will continue, Maynard, and everybody else will continue to fight this battle, and we will fight, and even in national, to get legislation to help our children.
And Butch, I know you were aware of this because when you were the national commander for DAV, we talked about it several times, and trying to expand the list of presumptive diseases and continue to talk about the multi-generational effect of exposure.
Absolutely. And that, you know, one thing when I was national commander that was very important to the DAV when I was there and still is today is that we don't stop the science. You know, everything with the VA they do is has to be proven by science, which is great, and we believe in that, but we don't want them to stop testing the second, third, fourth generations of these Vietnam veterans that have been suffering from Agent Orange. So we're really advocating and pushing hard back on the VA to say, hey, this, you've got to continue this testing. You know, we cannot slow down because we know there's long-term effects, and, you know, it's the obligation of this country and the government to continue to make sure that we get after and take care of all those that are affected by this, you know, those veterans as well as their families.
Bob, it sounds like the more our members, Vietnam Veterans of America, can work with the DAV and encourage them to continue the fight, the better off we're all going to be.
Actually, that's very true, and we're honored to be part of DAV and their service, their veteran service officers and their programs. Like I said, DAV has always been there. It's always been by our side, and we will continue to work with them. And it's an honor, and we're privileged to be part of DAV and their programs.
We're speaking with Vietnam Veterans of America and the Disabled American Veterans about supporting our Vietnam veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Butch, has the DAV had a long relationship with Vietnam Veterans of America?
We have. Actually, if you go back and actually look at the history of ours also, I mean, the VVA and the DAV, we were actually working hand in hand when it came to getting after the science of the research on the Agent Orange, because a lot of our leadership that got into the DAV were also the Vietnam veterans and were members of the VVA, DAV, and I'll tell you, our two organizations have been connected, you know, I'll say at the hip through the fight, and we've always have been and always will be through every of these fights. So, yes, we've been side by side with them.
And, Butch, when we take on these new issues like burn pits, I would assume that DAV's learned a lot about the 30, 40 years that the VVA's been fighting for these benefits from Agent Orange.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing we keep leaning back on, the Vietnam veterans, you know, and especially those that are, you know, the Mainers and stuff like that are out there that have been actually advocating, fighting with Congress. We lean on them to learn about what worked, what didn't work when it came to advocating, because we know it's an uphill battle for these new illnesses that we're having our soldiers exposed to. So we want to make sure that we use those that worked before, and we also continue to maybe learn what also some new tactics, new skills to continue to advocate for. So, yeah, we're definitely leaning hard on the Vietnam veterans still today to help us get after these new illnesses as well.
So, Bob, are our fellow Vietnam veterans aware that the DAV's out here and will pick up the slack?
I believe they are, and I think they're 100% supportive of the DAV. We all know about the DAV because of Vietnam veterans. We're in the rank of file of all the service organizations, the DAV, the Legions, the VFWs. So we've got our foot in the door, and we will continue to work with the DAV and continue our mission and also help the DAV's mission of the burn pits.
Butch is a fellow Vietnam veteran. I'm sure I'm speaking for Bob and I both when we say that we're thrilled and blessed to have the DAV out there to continue the fight going forward. We hope to be here for a while, and I know that you're going to work hard on it. How are you going to? Are you going to be able to communicate to the Vietnam veterans to let them know that as the VVA sunsets, the DAV is just rising in the sun?
You know, we're actually working on that messaging right now. We want to make sure that, obviously, as these advocates have been very, you know, strong for VVA, that they know that they can, you know, we need their help as well, you know, just to continue the fight. So we'll definitely be communicating and sending messages out to encourage those Vietnam veterans that are, you know, been working with VVA and also been part of their leadership to look at the DAV and come over and help us as well, because we need all the help we can to continue to advocate. But also, if they need any help, make sure that they know that we're here to assist them with anything that they need help with.
Very good, Butch. We're thrilled and blessed to have you out there to continue this fight. Bob, we just got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners?
No. You know, the Vietnam veterans, it's been an uphill battle for 50 years to get anything going. I think the Vietnam veterans have helped improve not only the GI Bill, the VA home loans, but also to get quality medical help service through the VA for all Vietnam veterans. So it's we will continue our fight, and we are, like I said, we're blessed and we're happy to be part of the DAV organization.
And our message was never again will we allow this country to forget our veterans.
No, sir. And we do not turn the back on any veteran.
I think you and I and our fellow Vietnam veterans have done a pretty good job of that.
Yes, sir, we have.
Bob, thanks for joining us today.
Tom, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I really got to echo what you just said there. But, you know, I really got to thank the Vietnam veterans for all that they've done and, you know, fighting for the veterans, the Vietnam veterans, but also the impact they've had on the current serving veterans, you know, Gulf War, Iraq, and Afghanistan veterans. The Vietnam veterans have been a huge, huge asset for us to be able to get some of the things we've done. So I too, want to echo what you said, but a big thank you to all the Vietnam veterans.
Thanks for joining us today, Butch. Bob, thank you very much.
It's our honor, Butch. Thank you again for having me, Tom.
This is Butch Whitehead from the Disabled American Veterans and Bob Behrens from the Vietnam Veterans on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about information technology in the Minnesota National Guard. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today is Doug Wortham. And in this segment, we're going to talk about information technology in the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
Located on the Minnesota Veterans Home at the Minneapolis campus is the Adult Daycare Center, also known as the Vets Club. The Adult Daycare is dedicated to offering veterans caregivers a respite and the support they need to keep aging veterans in their homes for as long as possible. The Adult Daycare Center is a veteran-based community that allows clients to connect with other veterans in a safe, comfortable environment. The center also lets clients achieve the highest attainable level of physical, mental, and social well-being with the independence of living at home. It also provides much-needed respite and a full array of support services for veterans caregivers. This is the second program of its kind in the country to be opened by a state veterans home. Eligible veterans, spouses, widows, and Gold Star parents can enjoy a unique program. Visit MinnesotaVeteran.org for more information.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Doug, we've got a couple of special guests joining us, and we're going to talk about cyber protection and information technology with the Minnesota National Guard. And since you recently retired as the State Command Sergeant Major, I'm hoping that you're ready and able to introduce these two guests.
Yeah, thank you so much, Tom. And it's always great to have guests in the studio, people that I've served with, people that I know well. And first, I'd like to invite onto the program from the phone line is Major Brian Morgan. He's the commander of the 177th Cyber Protection Team. Hey, sir, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, sir, Major. Glad to be here.
Yeah, so real quick, just tell us, how long have you been in the military, and tell us a little bit about your position right now.
Sure. So I've been in the military for 19 years. Started out as an enlisted infantryman, and then went to officer candidate school, became a military intelligence officer, and then branched over to the Signal Corps to get some more IT experience, and then was lucky enough to be accepted into the relatively new cyber branch.
Yeah, thank you very much. And, of course, joining us in studio, someone that you know very well, too, and that's Lieutenant Colonel Nate Schilling, who is currently the Minnesota National Guard Chief Information Officer. Sir, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Pleasure to be here with you.
And real quick, sir, what about you? How long have you been serving inside the Minnesota National Guard or serving in uniform?
22 years. I started out as a 12 Bravo combat engineer and then went into the Signal Corps, and I've been in there ever since.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, sir, we're going to spend a little bit more time with you in the next segment, and I do want to focus some time with Major Morgan. And sir, the Cyber Protection Team, it's a pretty young organization. As I recall, it was kind of in the infancy stages as I was leaving the organization. I believe it started around 2017. So maybe you can just kind of tell us a little bit about what a cyber protection team is, and really what is the role that the cyber protection team plays inside of not only the Minnesota National Guard, but maybe on the federal level as well.
Yeah, absolutely. A cyber protection team is just that. It's a fairly small team in terms of military organization goes. It's a 40-person element, 39 actually. So if you consider it about a platoon-sized team, what we do is pretty specific. Our mission is to conduct mission-focused cyber incident response and otherwise defend the DODIN, which is the DOD information network. Essentially, it's the network that we all rely on to conduct DOD operations, like NIPRNet.
One of the things I was reading in the short bio here about the mission was the principal function to hunt, clear, enable hardening, and assess. I have no idea what that means. Maybe you can explain that a little bit.
Yeah, most people don't. So I'm absolutely willing to do that. So yeah, the core functions of the team are incident response. So whenever a security incident might happen, you may have a network that is suspected of being compromised or breached. Our team is able to be deployed expeditionarily onto that network, which means that we kind of come in cold, and we have the equipment and the training to hunt whatever threats might be on that network. So we're talking, bad actors, cyber criminals, advanced persistent threats. We have the ability to, scour that network, hunt those threats, remove them from the network, which is the clearing phase, if you will. And then we work with the owners of that network to harden their network, make sure that this doesn't happen again. And then finally, we'll assess those efforts to make sure that the controls put in place are effective before calling it mission complete. And then we head back home. So we kind of, that's what we do.
And we're speaking with Major Brian Morgan, the commander of the 177th Cyber Protection Team in the Minnesota National Guard. And sir, I understand that you had your team, you recently deployed, and generally when we think about deployments, the general layperson, I guess, would think, hey, we're going overseas into a combat zone. But that's not what it was like for the deployment you just came off of, was it?
No, it wasn't. We've actually deployed this time to Fort Meade, Maryland.
And so Fort Meade, Maryland, it's a stateside deployment. You brought your 35 team members. How was that deployment different? I mean, what kind of scope can you talk about without revealing any secrets?
Yeah, absolutely. So, in a CONUS deployment, your spectrum of difficulties, I like to call it, sort of shifts. We've both done overseas deployments. We did one together, to Iraq. So we both know what it's like to go, get on a plane and get off the plane, and all of a sudden it's 130 degrees and you're worried about, how do we get food and water and shelter, and, the Army provides. But in this case, the difficulty spectrum changed from you know, having too little to having too much, right? So now from a soldier readiness level, we have to worry about things like, you know, people getting into trouble domestically and things like that. So that was the biggest shift in terms of operational deployment from overseas to living in the United States. Mission-wise, you know, the deployment is really the same for us. The best part about the cyber world is that it really doesn't matter where you are. You know, the speed of light is still the speed of light. And, you know, by the time you blink your eyes, you know, a photon of light can travel around the Earth, you know, three or four times. So we can conduct our mission from anywhere. And that's what we did. Our mission was focused internationally. We touched all parts of the world, but we did it from Fort Meade, which is pretty cool.
Sir, we only have about a minute and a half or so left here, and I just want to get to a couple of other quick things. When you look at the makeup of your team, do most of the people on your team come to you already with that cybersecurity background? Is that their civilian career, so to speak?
About 90%, yep.
Okay, so they come with some great qualifications, and I'm just wondering then, how is it that what they do, what you do as a cyber protection team and that skill set then, how does it cross over into that information technology spectrum that we'll be talking to Colonel Schilling about?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you have a Venn diagram and one of the bubbles is cyber and the other one is IT, information technology, the overlap in the middle is tremendous. In order for us to do the things we need to do from a mission-focused cyber protection team perspective, we need to all have very strong fundamental backgrounds in IT because that is the racetrack upon which we drive. If there's not an infrastructure or a network for us to operate on, we can't do our mission. So because of that, we have many people on the team who actually work for Colonel Schilling. About a third of my team actually works for his staff in the J6.
Sir, we're going to take a quick break here. And when we come back, I want to ask you a little bit about the importance of cybersecurity in that terms of just modernizing our force. So we'll do that when we come back. Please stay with us. We'll be right back on Minnesota Military Radio.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. My co-host today, Doug Wortham, is in the middle of an interview about cyber protection and information technology with the Minnesota National Guard. And Doug, you better jump back in. I think you've got a question left for the Major.
Yes, Tom. Thank you very much. So, Major Morgan, I just wanted to know from you if you kind of weigh in on that importance that you personally put on cybersecurity in the terms of how we modernize our force so that we can be prepared to better deal with our peer adversaries.
Yeah, a great question, Sergeant Major. Honestly, I would put critical as the operative word here. As you know, the DoD and American culture and infrastructure, everything is now built with, you know, technology as a foundational layer. So with that comes the natural vulnerabilities that are present in any sort of system that deals with technology. So the best way to defend ourselves would be to make sure that those vulnerabilities are handled and closed and we are able to keep our systems safe. If we can't project power globally, then we are, you know, not an effective DoD. And one of the ways that we can help make sure that we can do that is by ensuring the safety and security of our systems by putting emphasis on cybersecurity.
I think we could spend an entire show and more just talking about cybersecurity and the things that we as a general public need to be doing to protect ourselves. But then, of course, when we talk about the scale of our national defense, the importance of that. So I appreciate that, sir. I do want to shift gears and bring in Colonel Nate Schilling, who, as I mentioned before, is the Chief Information Officer for the Minnesota National Guard's Information Management Cell, or the J6, as they call it. And sir, I want to start by asking you, we talk about the cyber protection team. It's just this small little piece of what happens inside the organization. You, inside the role of information technology, our state organization, how do they support you inside that scheme of things?
So the way we support the organization is basically through the Adjutant General's priorities. So we enable people. We're concerned about modernization, network security and protection, enabling units and partnerships. We do it through providing services that make those things happen. So we support tactical units. We build communications plans and domestic operations plans. We do user support, provide network infrastructure, and we build applications that improve the way we do business. And the biggest tie-in, which I think you're getting to with the CPT, is defensive cyber operations. We work together to accomplish that.
Yeah, thank you. And the J6 denotes that it's a joint operation. And, of course, inside the Minnesota National Guard, it is both the Army and the Air Guard. And so you have a big responsibility. So what's that like as you try to coordinate the importance of information technology and then, you know, synchronizing that across the entire spectrum of the Minnesota Guard?
It's a large problem set, but it's a good problem set. Working with, you know, local authorities and the Army, Air, and the state, national partners is absolutely an honor. IT operations are much more dynamic than they were a decade ago. You know, from a historical perspective, states used to have more autonomy, you know, to build their own networks, secure their networks the way that they wanted to. But the current environment now demands more standardization, synchronization, and communication amongst all of the partners. So, and that helps ensure the best practices nationwide are followed. You know, we communicate daily with personnel from National Guard Bureau, Air Guard, Defense Information Services Agency, et cetera. So bottom line, it's fast-paced. We have to be agile and responsive and communicate very often to ensure we're all on the same page.
We're speaking with Colonel Nate Schilling, who's the Chief Information Officer for the Minnesota National Guard. Sir, terms are thrown around, and I hear things like information management, information technology, information operations. Help me to understand where you truly do focus and maybe why those other things don't apply to in a grand scheme of things for the Minnesota Guard and the J6.
Sure. So information operations is almost more of a Title 10 type deployment activity most of the time. The one piece of it that we do in the Guard is operation security. So we want to make sure that we're communicating the right things, securing our networks, protecting our critical data. Information technology is essentially the mechanism that makes the big machine work. So it's everything from the circuits that the network communications travels on to the servers. And then information management is essentially what do we do with that data? How do we store it? How do we transport it? And what are all the activities that have to occur to meld those three things?
As we were talking with Major Morgan and in the CPT, the Cyber Protection Team, and understanding that several of his team members are a part of the J6, so they get deployed. That takes away a full-time staff member from you and your organization. So how do you recover from that, or how do you make up that difference? Because you still have a network to secure. You still have a job to do inside of Minnesota.
Absolutely. So in one way, it's a tough pill to swallow because we lose the talent. But in the other way, we know that they're doing a good mission. The way that we backfill or take care of it on our end is cross-training. We usually know ahead of time when a deployment like that is going to happen. So we spend a lot of that time having our soldiers and airmen work together to make sure that there are other people that can be the next person up and accomplish that job while the rest have to go.
So when I joined many years ago, there wasn't an interest or a concern, at least from my level, about cyber protection, about information management in the sense that you're talking about it. Obviously, it's become extremely important today. And so I want to make sure I give an opportunity to you to talk about maybe what your needs are inside of the organization. Do you need additional soldiers and airmen inside of the J6 inside of the Minnesota Guard that have this type of skill set? And then what are you looking for?
So bottom line, yes, absolutely. We need that skill set. The cyber and signal domain has only increased exponentially in the last decade. We're looking for folks that have talent in information technology that can join our force, but we're also looking for a blank slate of a person who might be interested in serving their country, might enjoy having meaningful work, might like to work with other branches. One of the benefits of being a signal or a cyber officer or enlisted person is that you get to work with everybody. You work with infantry. You work with armor. You work with military intelligence. You work with engineers. It's truly one of the only disciplines where you have the opportunity to make a big difference and also get experience in a lot of other areas.
I'd like to bring back in Major Morgan here. Sir, when you joined back whenever in the Minnesota Guard, did you think at that point in time that you'd be the commander of the cyber protection team and have that transition into this cyber domain?
No, I don't think I ever saw that when I was in my foxhole days as an E4. That was a long time ago. But, you know, I can't say I'd ever choose a better path in the military. It's been an absolute honor to be the leader of the team for the last few years and looking forward to engaging with them into the future.
Yeah, gentlemen, it's been just a pleasure to have you in the studio. And, of course, the time always goes by so fast, and I wish that we could talk a little bit more and get into more details, but that just isn't the nature of the beast today, so to speak. But again, Major Morgan, it's great to have you back in Minnesota. Congratulations on a successful deployment with your team. And Colonel Schilling, thanks so much for joining us here in studio. Both of you have a wonderful day. And again, thanks for joining Minnesota Military Radio.
Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom.
Say, I want to jump right into it and ask you the first question, and I want to use a motto to kind of help set this up. The motto is this: neither snow nor rain nor heat nor gloom of night stays these couriers from the swift completion of their appointed rounds. That's from the mission statement of our United States Postal Service. And I think it ties in with a message today concerning the Patriot Guard. And tell us, what time of year will keep you away from performing your missions?
You know, Doug, there is no time, no weather, no situation, no condition that keeps us from our mission. I have stood in 50 below wind chills in Granite Falls and Duluth. I have stood in 110 degree heat wherever required, and it is probably one of the least understood aspects of what we do, Doug. I think people look at the Minnesota Patriot Guard and they see the motorcycles, and that's kind of our, you know, brand. And the reality is we're 12 months a year, 365 days a year. We are 24 hours a day, and there is no situation or circumstance that would preclude us from attending a mission if requested.
I understand you missed the mission because of someone that didn't quite understand that message.
Yeah, it was really, it's such a sad situation too, Tom. It was a mother of a young veteran who's no longer with us and was talking to our assistant state captain and had told Carla that, well, you guys don't do this in winter, do you? And Carla, unfortunately, had to be the one to go through the heartbreaking conversation of saying we do and we wish he would have asked us. And, you know, not to disclose anything privately. But that really broke my heart, that this family who's grieving for whatever the situations were, and to think they couldn't ask us to render our honors that day and to stand that flag line for their veteran and for their hero, broke my heart that our mission was not understood completely by that grieving mother. So just really a sad situation for us.
So, Doug, what do you have to say for the people that think that you're all Vietnam veterans and you only work in the summertime and ride motorcycles?
Yeah, I think to anybody out there, if your family member who's a veteran passes away under whatever circumstance, and as long as they were honorably discharged from the military, and we don't check, but we're going to take, you know, your word for it, that that veteran was honorably discharged, we will attend within our mission scope at your request. And it's different for active duty and combat losses, Tom, as you know, because we work with the casualty assistance officers in the military, and they have professionals, NCOs, who do the hardest job in the world. They're the ones who, with the chaplain, walk up to a door and knock on and give a family the worst possible news. So in the event of an active duty or combat loss, we work directly with the military. But for veterans, people don't know about us. And all you have to do is go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org, and on the left-hand side, you can request the Patriot Guard. And what's going to happen is we're going to ask you to fill out the information for the service, date, time, location, some information about the veteran or the hero, you know, what service they were in, what years did they serve, anything special maybe about their service. And we then get that within our missions team, which is the senior ride captains, who then assign it to the local ride captain, depending on the area they're in, who then will assign it. Either they take it on or they get an assistant ride captain to be in charge that day.
Great message today, Doug. Thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
This is Doug Bly from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one message today. Minnesota military members or veterans, if you're interested in starting or changing your career to the building and construction trades, consider the multi-trade apprenticeship readiness program, which is called Building Strong Communities. Through a partnership between the Minnesota Building and Construction Trades and North Hennepin Community College, you'll be equipped with the knowledge and skills needed to successfully enter a union-registered apprenticeship program. Register today at buildingstrong.org. That's buildingstrong.org by February 4th, so you can graduate this May in time to work for the 2022 construction season. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Bob Behrens, Butch Whitehead, Major Brian Morgan, Lieutenant Colonel Nate Schilling, Doug Bly from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk about deep brain stimulation at the Minneapolis VA and meet the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Network in Worthington. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.